The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory be to God. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading from St. Matthew. As you can see, today we are celebrating All Saints' Day. It actually falls right on a Sunday this year. What comes to mind when you hear the word saint? Lots of churches have technical definitions of what is or isn't a saint, but we're going to use the word the way the Bible does, like when Paul is writing to the congregation in Rome or at Corinth, and he says to the saints in Rome or to the saints in Corinth, That's how we're going to use the word. So what do you think of when you hear that word? Do you think of someone who is perfect in behavior? Oh, that person is such a saint. Do you think of someone who's a great Bible figure? Someone like St. Peter or St. Paul or someone like that? You know St. Peter who denied our Lord 3 times. St. Paul who persecuted the church before his conversion and later said that he was chief of sinners. Do you think of someone with a glorious faith life who does all kinds of wonderful things for the church? Or someone who's always bubbly and full of joy and happy? Do you think of departed loved ones who have fallen asleep in Jesus? What is a saint? This is something for us to consider on this All Saints Day. The word saint means holy one. A saint is someone who is holy, pure, righteous, without sin. Now, this would certainly include each and every person who has died in the Christian faith. As the book of Romans tells us, he who has died is free from sin. And not a moment before. And All Saints Day is often a day on which we remember all those who have gone before us in the faith and are now forever with the Lord. In our first reading from Revelation, we're even given a glimpse of the glory of the saints, of all the believers in Christ who have come out of this life and now stand before the Lamb. This passage provides a very comforting picture that reminds us that their sorrows are over as they live in the eternal joy of the Lord, awaiting the resurrection of the body on the last day. Yet the word saint doesn't only refer to those who have died in the Lord. Each and every believer is a saint. All our robes have been made white in the blood of the Lamb, meaning that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We too are saints. You are saints. I am a saint. We may not feel like it. We may not look like it. We may have a hard time believing it, not only of ourselves, but also of our fellow Christians. You know, I look out at you and I don't see any halos or heavenly auras or hear any, oh, or anything like that when I look out. And I know you don't see that when you look at me. However, it is true nonetheless. We are all saints. We are those who have been made holy ones, not by ourselves. By the washing of regeneration in baptism and the work of the Holy Spirit. Of course, while we yet live in this life, we are still sinners 100% as well as 100% saints declared righteous in Christ. We don't often see the glory that really is ours in Christ, if we ever see it at all. In fact, Jesus' words in today's gospel, what we call the Beatitudes from his Sermon on the Mount, are a realistic description of the life of a saint, of your life and my life as we live it here in this fallen and broken world. You'll notice that Jesus continually uses the word blessed as he describes the life of those who believe in him. What Jesus considers blessed and what we consider blessed are often two very different things. When we think of being blessed, you know, we often think of things like, oh, I have my health, my family's healthy, my kids are healthy, oh, I have a nice fat bank account, or I have a loving family, or I have lots of stuff, or a nice retirement, whatever. We think that stuff means, oh, I'm blessed. And while those things certainly can be blessings, they are worldly passing blessings. Jesus speaks of deeper blessings, spiritual blessings. Things that on the surface may not even seem like blessings to us. Jesus uses the word blessed. As he uses it, he means the blessing of being favorably accepted by God and having his divine approval. He's talking about those who are blessed and holy because of faith in him. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice that Jesus is stating here the way that things are, not things you have to do. The Beatitudes aren't a list of things to do. He's not saying, blessed are you if you are poor in spirit, or make yourself poor in spirit so you can be blessed. He's just saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who know that they have nothing in and of themselves to offer God. They have no spiritual wealth of their own. We are all spiritual beggars before God. We who are poor in spirit, we who know the weakness of our spirit apart from Christ, ours is the kingdom of heaven, won for us by Christ, who became poor, emptying himself for us. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." No, we now mourn because of our own sin and the destruction and the death that it brings not only to our own lives, but also to the lives of those around us. We mourn all the sickness and the sorrow and the brokenness of the world. Notice in the reading from Revelation, it said that they were coming out of the great tribulation. That's talking about coming out of this life, tribulation, affliction. It doesn't say, oh, they were coming out of the blessed, wonderful life that is a cakewalk here on earth for a Christian. They're coming out of the great affliction. Yet we are comforted in the forgiveness of sins, in the gift of eternal life that we have in Christ, in the sure and certain victory that we have over sin by his death and resurrection. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus' disciples seem meek and lowly by worldly standards. We have no earthly might to boast of as the church. We don't fight, we suffer. The church looks small and insignificant. It appears weak and divided. Yet we are baptized into Christ, and everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And we inherit the new heavens and the new earth that will be ushered in when Jesus returns in all his glorious might and power. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Our souls long for righteousness, and they're empty without it. That's where people get all this notion that they have, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." They know there's an emptiness there. They have to try to fill it with something they cook up spiritually. But we know we have no righteousness of our own. We absolutely cannot sustain ourselves spiritually, but we need to be fed with something outside of ourselves. Jesus is our righteousness. And not only are we also declared righteous through faith in him, he feeds us with his own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the very body and blood that was given on the cross to make us righteous. The righteousness of Christ is the only food that satisfies the empty soul and makes sinners into saints. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The disciples of Jesus in him are forgiving and live from the forgiveness that Jesus first gives them, without which they have none to give. We don't seek revenge or to get even, but instead we let go and forgive. Just as our Heavenly Father released our debts and forgave all in the death of his Son. The Father then showed mercy by raising Jesus up, showing that Jesus' atonement for our sins has been accepted and we are justified. He even died for our sins of being unmerciful and unforgiving. Even that debt is paid. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, in one of our services, we regularly sing, pray the words from Psalm 51. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And God answers that prayer. He creates in you a clean heart by giving you the word of absolution, the word that all your sins are forgiven, and that makes our hearts pure by the cleansing blood of the Lamb. And those who are made pure by the Lamb will see God face to face when they stand before his throne singing the songs of salvation. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Those who have been granted the peace of Christ are his ambassadors of peace to the world. We carry the message to the world that all are reconciled to God in Christ, that we are at peace with God through the cross of Jesus. And this is a message that this violent, anxiety-ridden world so desperately needs. All who are at peace with God are accounted as his sons, as his children. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Those who follow Jesus will suffer for it in this life. We may not be killed, but we may be ridiculed. We may suffer loss of friends, reputation, jobs. If the world hated and killed Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised if it treats us the same way. And whatever happens to us here, and whatever loss we may suffer for Christ, it really is very little in the big picture when we have the eternal kingdom of heaven before us as our future. And so Jesus says to us, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you see, there's all kinds of comfort for each of us to be found in Jesus' words in today's gospel. He tells us what we are as his disciples and what our ultimate destination will be. Jesus' words in the Beatitudes describes our lives as saints here and our life to come. And you see, Jesus' words in the Beatitudes apply to us as believers because first and foremost, they apply to him. Jesus became poor in spirit, pouring out himself for us. Jesus mourned as he wept over death and the rejection of his salvation. He became meek, taking on the humble form of a servant. He hungered as he was tempted in the wilderness and thirsted as he hung on the cross, dying for our sins. He was merciful, dying in our place. He alone was pure in heart and a pure sacrifice for sin. He is the peacemaking Son of God by whom we are made children of God. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake and reviled and falsely accused. Yet he endured it all for the joy that was set before him, the joy of saving you from sin and death and giving you the gift of eternal life. We are blessed indeed, for we have been baptized into Christ and being found in him, we are everything that he is. And when we are raised up from the dead on the last day, as we heard in the epistle, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Only then will we finally see the full glory and reality of our sainthood. Until then, we live by faith, knowing that whatever our future holds, it is secure in Jesus. In fact, he's already there just as much as he's here. Our future is sure and certain in Christ, as it is sure and certain that all the saints who have gone before us are now with him, including all of our dear friends and loved ones who have died in faith. And we don't even have to go that far to be with them now. Wherever Christ is, there is his church, his whole church, and Christ is here. Our fellow believers who have been called from life in this world are present with us here in worship. That's why we say, when we worship, we say, with angels and archangels and what? All the company of heaven. We may not see them with our eyes, but they are here because Jesus is here, and his saints are never apart from him. And we will see them again at the throne of God and before the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. We will join our fellow believers of all times and all places. It will be one big joyous reunion with Jesus at the center of everything. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It will be wonderful beyond all our imagining. In Jesus and Jesus alone, we are blessed indeed. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.